Well, howdy, everyone. Welcome to another installment of Pit Pass Network. Another interview. We got Mandy Chick today, driver of the number 74 Chevy for Chick Motorsports, Team Chick Motorsports. So thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me here today. I'm excited.
I'm excited as well. This is going to be a great interview. So, and you're coming off a career moment. You're coming off your first career top five finish in the ARCA Menards series at Daytona. So I guess walk me through those final laps, as I saw towards the end of the race, it got pretty chaotic towards the end. As you, towards the final straightaway, you barely made it through a gap passing the number 44 car of Jason White while he was slowing down. So just walk me through that final laps of that race and getting that ultimate top five finish.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned that the last few laps got pretty chaotic, and that is so true. We went into the last lap, I think, sitting ninth. And the fact that we came out across the finish line fifth was just super exciting. Coming off of turn four is where most of the action happened. I was pretty much going to stay in the line that I was in. I was on the low side, but an opportunity opened up in the middle, and it was kind of a full send moment for me. It was natural reaction with little thought, and I just kind of went for that gap, and ended up fifth. And so that was exciting, but it sure did get chaotic. We have a tire mark on the right side door, and the car was pretty much spotless until the last corner.
Definitely, it made it an exciting finish for sure. Earlier in the race, so how did it feel to persevere and recover? You had a speeding penalty earlier in the race, and how did it feel to recover and bounce back to the result you ultimately achieved in the end?
Yeah, absolutely. So early on, I knew that we had a really fast car. And if you listen back to my radio communication, I told the guys, hey, we have a rocket ship here. I know we've got a top five car here, and I predicted it. But like you said, we got a speeding penalty on one of our pit stops. I came in, and the typical driver, I got overzealous and sped in my pit stop. And so we were given that penalty and had to go to the back. I think we went to the back and ended up, 31st, and then came back and worked with a few cars to get back to the front. And that was exciting for me because I enjoyed working through the traffic. I enjoy a good challenge. But getting to work with several other drivers and other teams, getting back up to the front was just, it was exciting, and I learned a lot from them. I'm really thankful for the opportunity to get to draft with some of those other teams, and the fact that they trusted me to do that. And we drafted with Venturini a lot, and even the Gibbs cars. And for smaller teams, that's almost unheard of to be able to draft with teams like that. But they trusted us, and I'm very thankful for that. And I certainly learned a ton from them.
Yes. Yeah, so you mentioned your drafting partners there. Why did Venturini and Gibbs and all the, why did they want to help you so much? What sparked them to give you that help?
Yeah, I think for me, I had a pretty consistent car all weekend, and they could see that I was consistent and could take care of my equipment, and that I was there until the end of the race, and that's half of the game. And then our spotters started communicating on the tower, and my spotter did a great job at coordinating with them and putting together a draft. And so I think for us, it's that communication and the fact that they can see that we have a consistent car, and that I can take care of the equipment.
Awesome. Definitely. And then I saw a fact earlier that you were the highest finishing female at Daytona in the ARCA Menards series since 1991. So what does that stat really mean to you?
So I did clarify that fact, and I don't know that that's exactly true, but I am the fourth female ever to get top five in the ARCA Menards series at Daytona in the, I think, 60 year history that they've been racing at Daytona. And the fact that I'm in there making history is just, it's huge for me. It's exciting. And it really aligns with my goal of inspiring young individuals to achieve their goals, whatever they are. I know that you can achieve anything that you put your mind to as long as you work hard enough. And that's my big message. And so the fact that I'm out there proving that day in and day out and showing what I've overcome in my career is really important to me. I'm honored to have this piece of history and to be able to go down in the record books as one of the females to get top five at Daytona in an ARCA car. So for me, it's a really cool moment.
Yeah, definitely. And Daytona is probably like the most historic track in NASCAR history. So to do it there too is very, very accomplishment. So it was your debut as a driver at Daytona, I believe, was it?
Yeah, it was my debut as a driver at Daytona. That's the largest track I've raced on. Before then, it was Milwaukee. So jumping from a mile to almost 2.5 is a big jump. And I certainly had a lot to learn, but it was a blast. And Daytona is my kind of track. It's fast, it's high banked, and Talladega is very much like that as well. And so I'm looking forward to taking what I learned at Daytona and applying that to Talladega.
Yeah, that's a pretty wild change from a mile to 2.5. So was it your first time like seeing Daytona in person as well?
So I toured there a few years ago. My family used to own a condo in Daytona, and we went just on a tour as just spectators, just to look at the track and whatever. But that was my first time on a race weekend. I tested there in January. So I did get some experience before the weekend, which was good. That was super valuable. And my other claim to fame is that my mom had just found out that she was pregnant with me when they went to the Daytona 500 in 2001 when Dale Sr. passed away. So technically I was there that day, but obviously I don't remember that. but yeah, it was my first time being there on a race weekend, and it's just a cool track. So much history, like you mentioned, and it was just surreal for me. I didn't know how to process it all weekend because that track is just, it's cool. You don't understand the magnitude of it until you're standing there and you're looking at the stands and you're looking at the pits, and it's all of the details. It's the flags flying in the air and the pit road before the race and, you know, how many people there are. And it's just, it's a details thing. It's, you notice all of the details, and it's just an incredible place.
Yeah, definitely. Would you say that's probably one of your coolest experiences you've had so far in your lifetime, like racing at Daytona?
I think it was. I think it's one of my favorite moments for sure. One of my very favorite moments in my racing career. It's a once in a lifetime experience, honestly.
Yeah, definitely. So you're a third generation racer. So what does it mean to have like a family background in racing as a team, as you drive for Team Czech Motorsports right now?
Yeah. Like you said, I am a third generation racer. My family has very deep roots in racing, and I've grown up around it since I was very, very little. And for me, it's carrying on that family legacy that I'm excited to do. And we do it as a family. It's how we bond. It's always how we've done things. We've always been a family-owned team since the beginning of my career and even before then. And so for me to be able to carry that on and do this and accomplish great things with my family by my side is very fulfilling and very exciting for me.
Yeah, definitely. Family is definitely probably the most like vital thing to have in your life. So
it is, absolutely. Yeah. I think, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So where is your team based at? Is it where everyone else is in North Carolina, or is it based somewhere else?
So we are based in a small town outside of Kansas City. It's called DeSoto, Kansas. It's, our race shop is right in our backyard. We've lived here since I was 2 years old. So we are about 20 minutes from Kansas Speedway, which is why I'm very excited to go to Kansas Speedway this year. I've dreamt of racing there since I was little, and I've, you know, passed Kansas Speedway my whole childhood, and have always said, I'm going to race there one day. And that's finally going to come true this year. And and we get to do it twice this year. We'll do that in May and September. But yeah, we're just about 20 minutes from Kansas Speedway and just a small town outside of Kansas City.
I guess it makes your team really unique then, because most teams are based in North Carolina. So it makes your team really unique. It reminds me of like Furniture Row Racing, like they're from Colorado, or they don't exist anymore, but like when they were exist, they're based off Denver, Colorado.
Right. Absolutely. It is unique. And it certainly also comes with its own challenges. It's difficult to get different parts if, you know, between race weekends and we're in a time jam or whatever. It's difficult to get parts when most companies can just run over and drop it off to another team. We have to have it shipped to us, and sometimes it has to be rushed. And so, like you said, it's unique, but it certainly does present its own challenges. And so we've worked through that as we can. I think at some point we'll see a future where it may become feasible to move our team to North Carolina, just to be in that realm. But I don't anticipate that happening before I graduate. I would anticipate that would happen, you know, sometime after I graduate from school, and then I can kind of help lead that change, and we would end up in North Carolina if this is something that is sustainable for our team long term, which we're hoping.
Yeah, definitely. So your grandfather is the one that started the racing legacy in your family. So what gave your grandfather the desire to start racing and begin that your legacy in your family?
Yeah, so he that's a very unique question. I haven't been asked that very much, but I like that. For him, he grew up around just a lot of friends that were involved in racing. And I became friends with people who were very heavily involved in racing, and he like sparked that interest. And so he built engines and cars and was involved for a long time and never actually drove and raced himself, but was involved in a technical aspect and built many, many cars, many cool cars too. He was heavily involved in the road racing industry as well. And then my dad became interested in it about when, well, he grew up around it, but he started driving himself about when he was a teenager or young adult. And he raced asphalt modified for many years, did some SCCA stuff too. And then he and my grandpa owned a NASCAR truck team from 2001 to 2006-ish. And then when they sold that, that's when I got into racing. So they have very deep history in racing and in many facets of racing as well. But I think for my grandpa, it was that involvement and affiliation with people who were involved in racing that really sparked his interest.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great answer there. So yeah, Team Chick Motorsports, you said existed in the truck series from 01 to 06. Mm-hmm. So is your family thinking about reopening that team in the Craftsman Truck Series anytime in the near future, like if you elevate up there one day?
I think for me, it's a huge goal of mine to work through the ranks of NASCAR. That's a very complicated question that I'll begin by saying that is a big goal of mine to work through the ranks of NASCAR. For me, ideally, I'd love to continue as a family-owned team and move up the ranks with them. They've always supported my racing, and it would be very fulfilling and really unique to be able to operate as our family-owned team still through NASCAR. I think that would all depend on funding, as many things in racing do depend on funding. I think very similar. I would say the opportunity to get in a truck in some aspect would be a possibility in the near future. I don't know that for our team it would be feasible this year, but I do know in the next few years, if we had the proper funding, then we absolutely would be looking for opportunities to break into the truck series as our team. I would love to get personally truck experience, and I don't know if that happens, if that would happen through another team. I think it would be dependent on availability for the equipment. I think if it were just a handful of races to get experience, it would be with another team. But if it's something that we're doing similar to where we transitioned to the from the late models to the ARCA program, and we're doing the ARCA full time, then maybe if we're looking at trucks full time, we would possibly look at doing that as a family team. So it might be a feasibility in the next few years with proper funding.
Yeah, definitely. It's always great to have that option in the future. So,
And we're certainly not afraid. Yeah, we're certainly not afraid of doing the NASCAR racing with our family, especially with that history and that experience. We're certainly not afraid of that if we had the proper funding. So I would say that it might be a feasibility in the next few years. It certainly would be cool.
Yeah, that would be awesome. So, what has your partnership, you currently drive a Chevy, mean to you right now?
Yeah, so right now I currently drive a Chevy, but that's our super speedway car. Our short track car is a Toyota, so we're kind of in between right now. Not committed to a single manufacturer, but totally open to discussing opportunities to have a relationship with the manufacturer. I am working for GM as an engineering design intern this next summer, so it certainly would be cool to be on Team Chevy. Shout out. but I think we're kind of in the middle as far as manufacturers go, and waiting to see kind of what the competition looks like in the realm of ARCA, and see what provides the most opportunities. But we're right now working on opportunities to affiliate ourselves with a manufacturer.
Yeah, definitely. Off the track, what vehicle make do you drive in?
I drive a Toyota Tacoma, but that could be negotiated if Team Chevy came by. but I bought a Toyota Tacoma, I think not last September, but the September before, and her name's Tammy. And I'm very proud of my truck. I love it a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Giving nicknames to your cars make it more sentimental and stuff. So
yeah, for sure. And for anyone watching, if anyone has any names for an ARCA car, we're currently working on naming our vehicles and our fleet. So I would be open to any and all suggestions on names for our ARCA cars.
Yeah, definitely. Giving that token out for everyone to
yeah
give out names, that that'd be great for us, for Mandy.
Yeah, so, absolutely. I could use some help.
So your car number this season is 74. Is there any meaning behind that number, or is it just a random pick?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I mentioned that my dad and my grandpa owned the NASCAR truck team many years ago, and they fielded entries in two different numbers, the 74 and the 11. But the fact that we had the opportunity to snag the 74 in the ARCA Menards series and kind of bring us back to our truck days was really exciting. It's a family legacy that I'm looking forward to continuing. So although I am new to the 74 because I've raced the 23 my whole life, my family has roots with the number 74. And so that's really exciting for us too, as we're breaking back into the NASCAR structure, getting back to our roots of the 74.
Yeah, it's definitely cool to continue the tradition of that number. So
absolutely.
What was your very first racing number? Was it 74 or was it a different number, like in your early days of racing?
It was 23, and it's been 23 all the way up until last year. And that is because my grandpa had a very close friend named Pat Naglin, and he ran the number 23. And when he passed away from cancer, we decided to run the number 23 in honor of him.
Oh, that's definitely a great honor to do for him. So, so yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Obviously you're from a racing family, But as a young kid, did you ever thought of pursuing a different career path other than racing?
I think certainly, as many kids do, they have many dreams of careers in the future. But for me, it was always NASCAR. I've always dreamt of NASCAR, being a NASCAR Cup driver, and it's something that I still want to do. I think that would be just an absolute dream come true. But I have, like, in our whiteboards in our race shop, they rarely get erased. But I have one in our parts room that says I will be a NASCAR Cup driver when I grow up. And so that's something that I've wanted to do from a very young age. And I even have pictures when I was 2 years old sitting in the NASCAR trucks that my dad and grandpa owned. So I think it's something that I've always dreamt of doing. Of course, there's the little bumps in the road where kids get sidetracked on different careers. You know, they're interested in teaching or whatever. For me, I always went back to wanting to be a NASCAR Cup driver. But I also, as I progress through my education, I have such passion for engineering as well. I'm a full-time student at Rose Holman, which is a private engineering school in Indiana, and I'm studying mechanical engineering and getting my master's in engineering management. And I think no matter where my career goes, which I'd love to end up in the Cup Series one day, I think I'll always be involved in a technical manner as well, because I have such passion for that. I always want to be hands-on. So that's certainly a career opportunity that I'd like to pursue in the future as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you mentioned your education. So how do you balance your time with both racing and education?
That is something I'm still learning how to do, but I'm a type A personality. So I have all the spreadsheets and the to-do list and try to stay on track with that. The community at Rose Holman has been super helpful in helping me get caught up after race weekends when I'm gone, or get ahead on my schoolwork, answer any questions that I have. They're always super happy to help, and they're super supportive of my racing. I have a lot on my plate for sure, because I also am heavily involved on campus as well. But I'm still learning how to balance it all, and I'm enjoying it. I love my life. I would not do what I've done the last 15 years if I didn't love it. And so for me, I've always taken on a big workload, but I've always figured out how to conquer it. And it's certainly a challenge, but it's a challenge I'm enjoying.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome that the university can help that much with you with that. Mm-hmm. And also they sponsored your car at Daytona. So what did it mean to have your university support you and then see those school colors on your car?
It's an absolute dream come true, honestly. I have dreamt of a partnership with them for several years now. And the fact that they've supported me and they are so focused on supporting their students in whatever life throws at them is so meaningful. And as a student, it's empowering. One of the main reasons for our partnership, especially for Daytona and Talladega, which they're primary for, is we want to increase the awareness for women and diversity in STEM. It's something that they are working on. We have 25% female population on campus, so still very male dominant. But our goal through my partnership is to get to 30 or even 35% female in the next several years. So that's the root of our partnership, but they certainly have supported me in all of my racing endeavor, and that's been very, very meaningful for me.
Yeah, definitely. That's very awesome. So you mentioned it will partner with you at Talladega as well. Is there any other races this year they're planning on, or do you have not that lined up right now?
They are supporting me throughout the season with a focus on Daytona and Talladega. So that's kind of what we're looking at, but their big focuses were Daytona and Talladega. Those are just super cool tracks, and there may be more in the future. I guess we shall see, but they are supporting me throughout the season.
That's very awesome. So what are the names of your crew chief and spotter, and have you worked with them even before this season?
Yeah, so my crew chief is my dad, Steve Chick Jr. Our car chief is Curtis Miller. I've grown up racing with his son, and we're very close family friends. And when we made the transition to ARCA, we knew that he was the right person to manage our fleet of cars. He lives in North Carolina, so he'll commute every couple weeks and come up and work on the cars here. But he puts so much hard work into our cars, and certainly sacrifices a lot when he comes up and stays with us for a couple of weeks and leaves his family. So super thankful for him. I know that there's no one better to manage our fleet of cars than him. Our spotter is Eric Roll, and he is new to us with the ARCA series. We had our debut with him last year, and we're continuing that with we did Milwaukee and then Daytona. He's going to be with us throughout the season and hopefully more in the future. And I really enjoy working with Eric. He's fantastic. He is a great communicator. We get along very well. And I'm just super thankful for his hard work as well. He's so invested in it. He will even call me when he has thoughts and talks. We communicate very regularly, and I haven't had really that many spotters that have been that invested in my racing, and I'm super thankful to have awesome people around me where all of my crew people are very invested. But we have a volunteer team, so I did want to mention that since we're family owned. So we have a volunteer team other than our only full-time guy is Curtis Miller, our car chief. And so I'm super thankful for all of our crew guys and all of the hard work they put in day in and day out.
Yeah, it's awesome having all that support for you and your spotter that communicates with you like that often. Like that's def like communication's definitely very vital and key to anything. So that's
It is
definitely
absolutely.
yeah. So and then one of your competitors at Daytona is Frankie Muniz, and he's a well-known actor. And have you watched any of his TV series and movies before?
I have not. I am not very good at watching. Let me back up. I have not watched many movies or TV shows historically, and so just because I was busy as a kid with my racing, that I didn't get to watch all of the classics. So I'm catching up on all of those. As I'm in school and people realize that I haven't watched certain movies, certainly I'm going to check them out at some point because he's such a great guy, and it's super cool what he's doing. I really enjoyed getting to meet him in Daytona, but I have not watched any of his movies or TV shows.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, having the opportunity to meet him is probably great.
Yeah. Do you have a recommendation? What's your favorite of his?
Well, honestly, I haven't really watched any of his stuff too. I think the most popular I've heard of is Malcolm in the Middle, the TV series.
That's true. That's
Yeah,
true.
I think that's his most
Yeah.
popular one, but I haven't
For
watched
sure.
either.
Well, it's okay. I put you on the spot there, but I was curious.
All good there. So you're from DeSoto, Kansas. So I did some research of drivers from your home state of Kansas and found that you're only the 13th NASCAR driver all time from Kansas. And the most notable I found from your home state are 10-time Cup winner Clint Boyer, Daytona Cup winner Johnny Rutherford, Jennifer Jo Cobb, who has made 231 starts in the Craftsman Truck Series, and Bruce Hill, who made 100 Cup starts. So what does it mean to represent your home state of Kansas, where there's not as many drivers who have come from that state as the other states?
For me, it's a source of pride. I do know Clint Boyer, and he's a great guy, and he does a great job at representing Kansas. And I really hope that I am just as good at representing Kansas and the values that we have here in our home state. Super thankful for the awesome community we have here in my hometown, and I'm lucky to have had the opportunity to grow up in such a cool state. But for me, I know that, like many of the names that you mentioned, who ended up in likely North Carolina because of their racing careers, I figure that that'll be what my future holds as well at some point. And so I know that although in the future I would like to end up in North Carolina because of the racing, Kansas will always be that warm source of home for me. It'll always feel like home whenever I come back and visit friends, or even come back and race at Kansas Speedway in the future. And so for me, it's a source of pride to be able to represent Kansas.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Have you met Clint before?
I have. Yes. He is close with, he's friends with my dad. They raced trucks years ago. They were kind of in the same series and were competitors, and they grew a friendship then. And I am lucky to have had the opportunity to meet Clint, and he is such a kind, down to earth guy. And I'm lucky to know him for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And he's now commentating every Sunday. So it must be fun to hear his voice too.
Yeah, Sunday. For sure. He's super cool.
So one other driver that didn't drive in NASCAR, but was a very popular IndyCar driver, was Rick Mears, who's also from Kansas, who won 4 Indy 500s. That's tied for the most all time, and a total of 26 wins. So what does it mean to also have be from the same state as that racing legend as well?
Like I said before, it's a source of pride for me. That's super cool. I didn't even realize that many of these drivers had been from Kansas. What did you say, like 13 or something?
13. You're the 13th NASCAR driver.
See, that is surprising to me. I didn't think the number was that high. So, but that's super cool. That shows there's so much history there, right? And so many accomplishments from former Kansas residents. And so for me, it is a source of pride to be able to connect with people like this that have done fantastic things in racing. And Rick certainly has accomplished many great things in his history as well. So to be able to have that connection to people like that is very meaningful for me.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. So you mentioned earlier you're going to race at Kansas later this season in May. So I did some research. It's only roughly a half hour away from your birthplace. So what will it ultimately mean to finally be able to race there in May?
Super, super exciting for me. I have been to Kansas many times throughout my childhood, whether for races or different events and whatever. And so I'm very excited to go there and actually be able to race there. And our fan base, because naturally we're very involved in the community here in Kansas City area. Our fan base is very strong here in Kansas City. So to finally be able to tell our fan base that we are racing at Kansas in a race with such magnitude is just so fulfilling and something that they've been waiting for many years. So I think Kansas is going to be a very busy race for me because we're going to have so many people in the pits because we have family and friends here. But it'll be very fun. I'm really looking forward to it. And many of my family members haven't had the opportunity to, like the distant family members haven't had the opportunity to go to many of my races because my racing history has been mostly out of town. And that's a big trek for many people. So to finally get many of my family members, and even, you know, my grandma or aunts and uncles or cousins to be able to go to a race so close and then finally be able to understand and see firsthand what my career looks like is just really exciting for me.
Yeah, that's very awesome. Having that support system you're going to have up there is very, very awesome there. Mm-hmm. And racing at, like, I've watched over time, like racing at your home tracks, like very meaningful, like Clint, like so many years wanted to win at Kansas and been so close, but never got it. So, or like just racing in that home track is just something different.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So are you much of a football fan? Because recently the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl last month, and then Kansas State won the Big Ten championship a few months back as well. So were you excited those teams from your home state of Kansas won?
Heck yes. I was so excited. I'm a big Kansas City Chiefs fan. I have much pride in our Kansas City Chiefs. So from that aspect, I am a football fan. Past then, if the Chiefs aren't playing, I likely won't by choice be watching football, but I am very proud of our home team.
Yeah, it's very awesome having your home team win. So, and then I also saw that you have experience in the dirt modifieds. So how beneficial will that experience in dirt help you for the dirt race scheduled in September for the Arc and Menards series at DuQuoin State Fairgrounds?
Yeah, I started racing V8 dirt modifieds when I was 12 years old, and that was a very, very huge moment for my career because I learned a lot. I learned great car control and just the dirt techniques that you learn on the track is so different from asphalt racing that I'm certainly excited that I have a little bit of a leg up, knowing that I have several years of dirt experience. And even we had a part-time campaign of dirt midgets throughout my asphalt late model history as well. So to be involved in the dirt history and having that under my belt will be super helpful in any dirt races that we do in the future. It's hard to say for us when we'll be able to make DuQuoin just because of my school schedule. So that's something that will have to be evaluated as we get closer. But if we get to go, I am very excited because I love dirt racing as well. It's such a blast. And I think that certainly we would have a good chance there because of my racing history and having that experience on dirt before.
Yeah, definitely. Just having that experience and all that is definitely vital. Mm-hmm. So, and then the Arc and Menards series are also going to Mid-Ohio and Watkins Glen, two road courses this year. So have you had any road course experience before?
I have not had any road course experience. The only thing that's close to the road course experience that I have is just any, you know, go-kart tracks. But my dad has my grandpa, they have very deep roots in road course racing, and they were very successful historically in that. And my dad has a lot of great tips for road course racing, and he's really excited for that. I do have several family friends that have offered me the opportunity to get some road course experience. So it's hard to say whether we'll be able to do that before Watkins Glen or Mid-Ohio, or even if we'll be able to make those races just because of school schedule and all of that. Those will have to be evaluated as we get closer. But if we get to go, I certainly will be searching for ways to get that experience before we go there, because I think that would be super valuable to have some road course experience under my belt before I go race at a road course.
Yeah, definitely. And that's definitely very beneficial to have that that knowledge from your dad racing at road courses as well.
Absolutely.
So, and then there are many tracks this season you based off my research that you would be seeing for the first time, in exception to Lucas Oil, Indianapolis Raceway Park, and Milwaukee Mile. So how do you prepare for those races with no experience? Do you go on like iRacing and all that?
So I have a simulator, but it does not work at the moment. So I don't have that opportunity. Also the simulators at our race shop, and I will be at school for the next 10 weeks. So that might be quite a challenge, but I do go and watch races that have happened before at those tracks and see if I can do some research on those tracks. And I have great resources in the ARCA series as well with my competitors, and I'm thankful that they are super helpful and are always willing to answer my questions. So I'll call them and kind of talk through some of that with them. One of the ones that I'd like to give a shout out to that has helped me since day one of my ARCA career is Greg Van Alst. And he is coming off of one of his biggest career moments in the ARCA series, and I'm really happy for him. He deserves it for sure. He worked so hard for this. And them also being a family-owned team is super cool. But he will always answer my phone calls or texts, and he's always happy to help. Super thankful to have him in my court. But so to prepare, I typically will go and do research and then call several of my friends in the series.
Yeah, that's awesome having Greg there to help you out with that. So out of all the tracks you're about to witness and race on, which one are you most excited to race on this season?
Oh, I think it would have to be Bristol. Although I'm excited, well, now I'm really excited for Talladega too. I think Bristol and Talladega are very exciting for me. Talladega, because it's my kind of track. It's big, it's fast, it's high banked. It's very much like Daytona, which went very well for us, obviously, this year. But Bristol, I have a lot of late model experience at, and we had some great finishes there too. Super fast cars there. And it's just my kind of track as well. It's high banked. It's super fast. It's just an absolute blast. And a place with also just a lot of cool history. Bristol is one of those places that's just, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity to be able to go there. And I feel like sometimes it gets overlooked, but overlooked to the Daytonas and Talladegas, but I am super duper excited to go to Bristol. But Talladega is exciting for me too. So it's hard for me to choose. And I can't believe that I have to wait almost 2 months to go to Talladega, but I guess I have to be patient.
Yeah, patience is definitely a virtue. So
it sure is.
And yeah, Bristol is the one nickname's the last great Coliseum. So like just racing in that atmosphere and stuff is probably gets your adrenaline up too.
Yeah, I was in awe being able to go there, and just it's a surreal experience, much like Daytona was.
Yeah, definitely. So you're have you had like any, you told me that you've talked with Clint before, but have you had any conversations with any other Cup drivers in the past? And if so, who you talked to, and did they give you any pointers?
Yeah. So I have in the past. I grew up racing with Harrison Burton in the quarter midget. So I'm friends with him. He's a great guy. And his dad is awesome as well. His dad is just very down to earth and someone that always gave me great advice when he came to visit the quarter midget track when we were younger. And so I'm super thankful to have those connections. Todd Gill and I grew up racing with as well. And his dad is such a kind person. David is one of those people that's just always happy to help and very welcoming to others. And so I'm thankful to have those connections as well. And then I ran into John Hunter Nemechek and Joe Nemechek at Levin and I-44 Speedway at a JEG CRA All-Stars Tour race years ago. And they were super kind and always happy to take the time to talk, even though they had very busy schedules. Joe gave me some great qualifying tips and was like, hey, it'll come to you, be patient, but like qualifying is one of the number one things that you've got to get down, because that just, it starts your, it helps you with your starting position. If you can start further up in the field, then, you know, there's less ground to cover during the race and you have to be there at the end. And so he was a really cool guy to be able to connect with. And just, he was so happy to be able to give that advice and time to me. I'm super thankful for that.
Yeah, it's very awesome getting advice from Joe, because he's most known for qualifying, like his nickname is Front Row Joe and all that. So
yeah,
you get that kind of knowledge from him, that must have been really cool.
He's a great guy.
So you mentioned the CRA All-Star Tour Series. you did it from 2017 to 21, and I saw you won a sportsmanship award before there. So what attributes did you use to receive that reward, and how committed are you of having that, of having like the right attitude on and off the racetrack?
Yeah, attitude is very important to me. It's something that is a focus for me and for my team, is sportsmanship and that attitude off the track has to be number one. You can't get anything accomplished without that sportsmanship and the kind, welcoming attitude towards your competitors and towards the officials. That's always super important. But it's something that I'm passionate about, because for me, I'm the type of person that will talk your ear off and will just, one of my number one things is just that kindness. There's no reason not to be kind. And so for me, I always enjoy going through tech, and this is where we won the sportsmanship award with CRA, but I always enjoy going through tech and talking with the officials. And sometimes we get in trouble for holding up the line because I was talking to them, but I just, you know, want simple things like checking in and asking how their day is and seeing if they needed anything. If we're the types that, it's kind of like we bring our hometown attitude to the racetrack, where we force feed people. We like make sure they have all the drinks that they need, you know, water and Gatorade and whatever. And those hot days can be challenging for the officials, and they put so much into the series. So showing them a little bit of appreciation goes a long way, and just making sure that they have everything they need, and, you know, making sure they're hydrated and they have food for the day. And that was always one of my number one focuses when I went through the tech line, was checking in with them and building those relationships and giving them hugs and asking how their family is. That's one of the most important things in racing, is building those relationships. And it's something that has been at the forefront of my career for many years, is I love going to the racetrack and building those relationships.
Yeah, definitely. Kindness definitely goes a long way, and it definitely sits with the person as well for a while too, just knowing, oh wow, this person was so nice and stuff.
It does.
So have you tried any other sports throughout your childhood, or is it all racing?
So I would like to begin by saying that I am a race car driver first and foremost, and that is what I do best. I did dancing for many years. I think I danced I stopped dancing when I was like 10. So I think like 6 or 7 years I danced. Was not good at it. that's why I'm a race car driver, is because I am not coordinated in like a dancing aspect. I also did basketball and volleyball, and I really enjoyed those. And volleyball, I was decent at, but racing was always my number one.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, racing is definitely a great sport to compete in. So do you watch any other sports than racing?
Any sports that I watch are typically on campus at Rose Holman. We have such a cool, supportive community that's focused on sports, and our football team is really good. Our sports teams in general are really good. I have several sorority sisters that are on the volleyball team and softball team, and so I enjoy going and watching them, but that's about the extent of my sports watching. I do watch NASCAR, but as far as like outside of racing, I typically we'll just stick to the Rose Holman sports.
Okay, awesome. And so out of the whole ARCA field, which drivers do you see yourself hanging out with the most off the track?
Typically Greg Van Alst. I hang out with him a lot. He's really great. He has really taken me under his wing, and we'll walk together to driver's meetings or stand next to each other when we go there. And he's just always giving me advice and just always so kind to help and take time out of his busy schedule at the racetrack to do that. I also enjoy connecting with Tony and Amber, Tony Breidinger and Amber Balkan. They're very kind, and I enjoy chatting with them and talking with them. I haven't had many opportunities to get to talk to them just because the three of us are all so busy at the racetrack, and it's sometimes hit or miss. But the one that I mostly hang out with is Greg Van Alst, and I'm super thankful for my friendship with him.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so who would you say has been your biggest inspiration in your lifetime?
Oh, that's a good question. I think for me, it's been my family and my dad. He's taught me a lot in my career, and through his history, he has a lot of expertise in the industry. And he has put so much hard work into my racing and shown me that just all it takes to achieve your goals is that hard work and that dedication. And he certainly has had big goals in the past and has never stopped working hard for those. And so he's shown me that through hard work, you can accomplish great things. And so from that aspect, he's been really great in inspiring me.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so outside of racing, what do you enjoy to do in your free time?
Yeah, I would like to start by saying that I'm a typical engineering nerd, and I very much enjoy math. So I have math socks. That's one of my big claims to fame that I just had to get that out there. I do have math socks, and I'm very proud of them. But I'm a book nerd too. So I can't go to a nerd school without having read Harry Potter. So right now I'm working through the Harry Potter series. I'm really enjoying that. I haven't watched any of the movies yet, but working through that, love reading. I'm a typical book nerd. I also kind of on the side do a small 3D printing business. I have my own small 3D printing business called Victory 23 Designs. And I do mainly of race car parts, 3D printing. We do valence fasteners for the wear strips on noses of cars, brake ducts, some of those things. And then I do some custom design projects on the side as well, but always looking for opportunities to grow business. I'm enjoying that, but I don't have a whole bunch of free time between school and racing. So I do all that as time allows, but in general, I really enjoy reading and 3D designing.
Yeah, it's awesome activities to do and stuff. So, so do you have any siblings and pets?
So I am an only child, and I'm very thankful I don't have to share race cars, but, but no, I'm an only child, but I do have two dogs. We have an 11-year-old bulldog that is a rescue. Her name's Libby. We got her right before IRP last year. And she's an English bulldog, and she's just so spunky and funny, and you would think she's a puppy and a 1 or 2 year old bulldog, but she's just so sweet and lovey. And then the other one is Lola, and she is, I would think she's 10, and she's mine. I got her for Valentine's Day a couple several years ago, but she's really fun too. She's very spoiled and has quite an attitude, but she snores and she talks back to us. So we'll be like, no, like you can't do that. And then she like snorts at us, and she just has quite an attitude. But both of them are so sweet. We're an English bulldog family. And I just love them. They're great.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I like the correlation that both Libby and Lola, they both start with L. So
yeah, yep, for sure. And they are true race shop dogs. We will tell them, hey, do you want to go to the race shop? And they're all excited. Like they hop right up, and run to the race shop, and then, they'll end up on shop stools, they'll crawl up there, or and they're just a mess. They go explore and they're fun.
Yeah, that's very cool. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to end this with some fun questions now.
Okay.
So the first one I have is, have you ever been overseas?
I have not been overseas. I've been out of the country when I was, I think I was five. I went to Cabo, but that's not exact overseas. I've not been overseas though. I have always wanted to go to Santorini, Greece. That's one of my big ones on the list. It's just so pretty. I've also been offered an opportunity to race a dirt midget in Australia, but it's not something that I've been able to do yet, just because plane tickets are expensive and schedules are wacky. But I've not been overseas. I would love to at some point.
Yeah, definitely. I'm the same boat. I never been overseas too, but that'd be such a cool experience. So the second one is, if you could meet anyone in the world, alive or deceased, who would it be?
Meet anyone in the world, alive or deceased. I feel like this is pretty stereotypical for drivers, but I would love the opportunity to meet Dale Sr. He's just a true grassroots racer that worked hard for what he had and has so much cool history. I think that the stories he could tell would just be absolutely incredible. And for me, being able to sit down for coffee or have lunch or meet Dale Sr. just was once in a lifetime opportunity, obviously, but it would just be really cool to learn about his history and what he's overcome in his life to achieve great things.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Like, yeah, I wish he was still around, but that would be really cool. Because I was only three when he passed, so I never got to watch him race on TV or whatever. So,
yeah.
But so the next one is, what is on your bucket list?
Racing a NASCAR Cup car. I would love to do that. I have always wanted to go see the 9/11 memorial in New York. That's on my bucket list. My dad's a fire chief, and so growing up in a fire family, that appreciation for the 9/11 first responders has been deeply embedded in my childhood. And I think that the opportunity to go and see the memorial and pay our respect to them would be very interesting. I think past that, I have never gone like off-roading. And I think that would be super fun. I think that'd be a blast. I certainly have a need for speed. So anything to do with Baja vehicles or anything like that would be super cool.
Yeah, that would be quite the experience going off-roading.
Yeah, I think so too.
The next question is, Looney Tunes or Tom and Jerry?
Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, that's a classic.
It is.
And then, do you have any nicknames?
Nicknames? Oh, not really. Many years ago, we started our brand, you know, when I was a teenager, and did like Mandy the Cool Chick, just a play on words. But we kind of have gone back to just the regular branding of Mandy Chick, mandychick.com or whatever. My friends when I was little used to call me Chicklet, and so I thought that was fun. But past that, not really. If people really want to mess with me or whatever, they'll call me by my birth name, which is Amanda. Mandy's short for Amanda. But past that, not really. Most people, when they refer to me, this is super interesting. Most people, when they refer to me, they always refer to me as Mandy Chick. It's never Mandy. So it's like Mandy Chick, like the first and last name has to stay together. And I don't know why, like even in a friend group, we'll be like, you know, hey, Becky or whatever. And we use first names and they're like, hey, Mandy Chick. And I'm like, what? Like, why does it always have to stay together? I don't know. It's not exactly a nickname, but it is something people call me. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's very interesting. to have them do that. That's so funny though.
Yeah. They've always done that since I was little.
Yeah. I guess it just clicks, I guess, like just this.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of rolls off the tongue. That makes sense.
Yeah. So the next one is, if you could be any type of dog, what breed would you be and why?
Bulldog, because I love bulldogs and they're so sweet. And I think that I have a similar personality to a bulldog, that it, like, I can be spunky and fun, and but I also enjoy, you know, my fair share of just the like affection and the love, and you know, I'm a huggy person, and so I think that I very much resonate with the bulldog personality.
Yeah, definitely. And bone-in or boneless wings, and then your favorite flavor.
Boneless. Either garlic, parmesan, or mild.
Yeah, that's definitely a go-to there. Mm-hmm. And then favorite ice cream flavor?
I like ice cream. I like wedding cake or chocolate chip cookie dough, but really anything with chocolate or peanut butter. Yeah,
wedding cake's unique. I never heard that as a favorite.
So yeah, that's cool. So one of my favorites is the Bluebell brand. I love Bluebell ice cream. And they have, it's an ice cream that is almond extract flavored, like the icing, with chunks of wedding cake in it.
Oh, wow.
It's super good.
That does sound good. And then favorite music genre, and then what's your favorite artist and song of that genre?
Yeah, I like stuff all across the board as far as genres go. I have a friend group that, you know, a group of my best friends that have gotten me into outlaw country in the past. And so that's really cool, like the Marty Robbins and David Allen Coe and some of that stuff. So I really still enjoy that. And I also enjoy some of the up and coming country artists too. I'm a big country music fan. And I really am enjoying Tyler Childers right now. Myself and my boyfriend, we're going to Tyler Childers concert in June, and I'm really excited about that. I think that'll be a blast. I think he's a great artist, and he has some really, really great songs.
Yeah, that's very exciting to see that in person. Will that be your first country music concert you're going to go to?
Don't think it's the first. Let me think about this. Well, it probably would be the first big concert I've gone to. I went to a, it's not exactly a concert, but for my 21st birthday, we went to Nashville, and I went to Dierks Bentley's Whiskey Row, and saw one of my new favorite artists as well, Kaylee Green. And she was performing with her band, and they were fantastic as well. But I don't know that that's exactly a concert, more kind of like a hangout. But I would love to see her in concert. If someone could get her on tour, oh my gosh, that would be so cool. But I would say that Tyler Childers was probably my first country concert.
Okay, yeah, that's very awesome. And then the last one I have is, do you play any instruments?
I do not play any instruments. I'm a choir kid in school, and I do love singing. My ability to sing, my like skills in singing have declined over the years because of lack of practice, but I grew up as a choir kid, had many, many solos, and really enjoyed singing when I was growing up. So no, I do not play any instruments, or at least I don't do it very well. I used to play a recorder and think I was good, or play a harmonica. I know I'm not good at it. I can play one song on the piano. It would be super cool to be able to learn. But no, I grew up as a choir kid.
Okay. Yeah, that's still awesome though, having the ability to sing. Like I don't have that ability. So, or like I never did chorus in high school or anything. So just having that ability is really cool.
Yeah, thanks.
So, wrapping this up, everyone at Pit Pass Network likes to donate to a charity. So is there a charity you like to highlight here for us to donate?
Yeah. So I have a speaking tour that I do called Drive to Inspire, and it's focused on inspiring young individuals to just have that perseverance and drive. And this is something to be announced soon, but I'm partnering with Keepers Legacy for bringing back my speaking tour after COVID. And they are focused on providing parents and coaches with the necessary tools to enjoy their kids' childhood and just empower their kids to do great things no matter what they are. And we're trying to expand that mission to include like the kids' side, because I have a lot of perspective on growing up as an athlete in the racing industry and that pressure on me, and just enjoying that, you know, as a family owned team with my parents and what value that's brought to my childhood. And so I'm going to go speak to middle schoolers and high schoolers about my career and my history and what I enjoy doing, and, you know, kind of on an inspirational speaking tour. I kind of used to do that before COVID, and then COVID put that to a halt. But Keepers Legacy is the nonprofit that I'm partnering with, and we'll be announcing that soon.
Yeah, that's very awesome. That's a great cause you're doing, and
thank you.
That's awesome. So wrapping up this interview, thank you so much, Mandy, for joining us today. And I wish you the best of luck the rest of your season and the years to come. And yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for this opportunity. And I've really enjoyed talking with you. The questions that you asked were really cool and unique.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, thank you so much. And I hope you have a great weekend I was thinking you had a race this week, but like your next race. And thank you so much.
I appreciate that.